Cassette 2, Side 2. Chapter 10. Metz.
I'm sorry, Dr. Metz. The captain is with Thomas Orley in the weapons section. If there's anything I can do...
As usual, Vice Captain Takata Jim was unfailingly polite. His Anglic diction, even while breathing oxy water, was almost perfect. Ignacio Metz couldn't help smiling in approval. He had a particular interest in Takata Jim.
No, Vice Captain, I just stopped by the bridge to see if the survey party had reported in.
They haven't. We can only wait.
Metz tisked. He had already concluded that Hikahi's party was destroyed.
Ah, well, I don't suppose there has been any offer of negotiations by the Galactics yet?
Takata Jim shook his large, mottled gray head left to right.
Regrettably, no, sir. They appear more interested in slaughtering each other. Every few hours, it seems, yet another battle fleet enters Kithemene's system to join in the free-for-all. It may be a while before anyone initiates diplomacy.
Dr. Metz frowned at the illogic of it. If the Galactics were rational, they'd let Streaker hand her discovery over to the Library Institute and have done with it. Then everyone would share equally. But galactic civilization was unified more in the breach than in fact, and too many angry species had big ships and guns. Here we are, he thought, in the middle, with something they all want. It can't just be that giant fleet of ancient ships. Something more must have set them off. Gillian Baskin and Tom Orley picked something up out there in the shallow cluster. I wonder what it was.
Will you be wanting me to join you for dinner this evening, Dr. Metz?
Metz blinked. What day was it? Ah, yes, Wednesday. Of course, Vice Captain. Your company and conversation would be appreciated as usual. Shall we say, six-ish?
Perhaps 1900 hours would be better, sir. I get off duty then.
Very well, until then. Takata Jim nodded. He turned and swam back to his duty station. Metz watched the Finn appreciatively.
He's the best of my Stenos, Metz thought. He doesn't know I'm his godfather, his gene-father, but I am proud nonetheless.
All the dolphins aboard were of Terciops amicus stock, but some had genetic grafts from Stenos bretonensis, the deep-water dolphin that had always been the closest to the bottlenose in intelligence. Wild bretonensis had a reputation for insatiable curiosity and reckless disregard for danger. Metz had led the effort to have DNA from that species added to the Neo-Finn gene pool. On Earth, many of the new Stenos had turned out very well, showing streaks of initiative and individual brilliance. But a reputation for harsh temperament had lately caused some resentment in Earth's coastal communities. He had worked hard to convince the Council that it would be an important gesture to appoint a few Stenos to positions of responsibility on the first dolphin-crewed starship. Takata Jim was his proof. Coldly logical, primly correct, the Finn used Anglic almost to the exclusion of trinary, and seemed impervious to the whale dream that so enthralled older models like Crydike. Takata Jim was the most man-like dolphin Metz had ever met. He watched the vice captain manage the bridge crew with none of the little comic parables Crydike was always inserting, but rather with Anglic precision and brevity. Never a word wasted. Yes, he thought, this one is going to get a good report when we get home.
Dr. Metz?
Metz turned and recoiled at the size of the dolphin that had silently come up beside him.
What?
Oh, Githad John, you startled me. What can I do for you?
A truly large dolphin grinned at him. His blunt mouth, his counter-shaded body and bulging eyes would have told Metz everything about him.
if he hadn't already known.
Veresa attenuata.
The human savored the thought. So beautiful and savage. My most secret project, and nobody, not even you, Cathar John, knows that you are more than just another Stenos.
Forgive the interruption, Dr. Metz, but the chimp scientist, Charles Dart, has asked to speak with you. I think the little ape wants to bitch to somebody again.
Metz frowned. Cathar John was only a bosun and not expected to be as refined as Takata Jim. Still, there were limits, even considering the giant's hidden background. I will have to talk to this fellow, he reminded himself. This kind of attitude will never do.
Please inform Dr. Dart that I'm on my way, he told the Finn. I'm finished here for now.
Chapter 11 Crydike and Orly.
So, we're armed again? Crydike sighed. After a fashion.
Thomas Orly looked up from the newly repaired missile tubes and nodded.
It's about as good as we're going to get, Crydike. We weren't expecting trouble when we popped into a battle at Morgan Transfer Point. We were lucky to get away with as little damage as we took.
Crydike agreed.
Just so. If only I had reacted faster.
Orly noticed his friend's mood. He pursed his lips and whistled. His breather mask amplified a faint sound shadow picture. The little echo danced and hopped like a mad elf from corner to corner in the oxy-water-filled chamber. Workers in the weapons pod lifted their narrow, sound-sensitive jaws to follow the skipping sonar image as it scampered, unseen, chittering in mock sympathy. When one commands, one is envied by people, but oh, the demands. The sound wraith vanished, but laughter remained. The crew of the weapons pod spluttered and squalled. Crydike let the mirth settle. Then from his brow came a pattern of chamber-filling clicks that merged to mimic the sounds of thunderclouds gathering. In the closed room, those present heard raindrops blown before the wind. Tom closed his eyes to let the sound image of a sea squall close over him. They stand in my road, the mad, ancient, nasty things. Tell them, move, or else. Orly bowed his head, acknowledging defeat. No one had ever beaten Crydike at Trinary Haiku. The admiring signs of the Fen only confirmed this. Nothing had changed, of course. As Orly and Crydike turned to leave the weapons pod, they knew that defiance alone would not get this crew through the crisis. There must be hope as well. Hope was scarce. Tom knew that Crydike was desperately worried about Hikahi, though he hid it well. When they were out of earshot, the captain asked,
"Has Jillian made any progress studying that thing we found? The cause of all this trouble?"
Tom shook his head. "I haven't spent more than an hour with her in 2 days."
Crydike sighed.
"It would have been nice to know what the Galactics think we found. Ah, well."
They were stopped by a sudden whistle. Tished, the ship's fourth officer, flew into the hallway in a cloud of bubbles.
"Crydike, Tom, sonar reports a dolphin at long range to the east. Swimming this way at high speed."
Crydike and Orly looked at each other. Then Tom nodded at the captain's unspoken command.
"Can I take Tish and 20 Fen?"
"Yes. Get a team ready, but don't leave until we find out more. You may want to take more than 20, or it may be hopeless to go at all."
Tom saw a pain in the captain's eye. He motioned for Lieutenant Tish to follow, and swam rapidly down the flooded corridor toward the outlock.
Chapter 12 Galactics
Feeling the combined joys of patronhood and command, the Soro Krat